Unless you're a hermit living in the middle of nowhere, you have to deal with people. And for most of us, that's our partners, our friends, and the people we work with. Which is why I'm going to do a three-part series. Today I'm starting with how to handle our partners, and I'm going through the most common relationship questions on Reddit, because these are issues I've seen in my own life as well as in my work with clients. Now, what's interesting is when people ask questions about their relationships, they're often focused on the wrong thing. Like, they think it's about communication when it's actually about boundaries or unmet needs. And to be honest, I see this all the time, which might be why you're having the same conversations or the same arguments over and over, and somehow nothing changes. From my experience with my clients, the relationship can't move forward until you both understand what the real issue is. That's when you finally stop going in circles because now you're solving for the root cause instead of the symptom. So for today's episode, I want to look at what's under the questions people keep asking because that's where the answers usually start. You're listening to This Is How You Think, the show that remodels your mindset. I'm your host, Jewel Kim. Let's dive in. Okay, here's the first post. Is it manipulative for me to tell my partner I'm not staying if he doesn't get therapy? We have a girlfriend and a boyfriend who are both 19 years old. They're living together, and now she's doing most of the cleaning around the house. She's asked him to help several times. He agrees, does it for about a week, and then he reverts. And when she raises the issue again, he talks about his past relationship, his trauma, his depression, so she backs off and comforts him. His behavior never actually changes, and now she's telling him that he needs to get therapy or she's out. She also tells her dad about this. And he tells her that demanding therapy is weaponizing his emotions and manipulating him. So she thinks the question is whether she's being manipulative, probably because of her dad, and now she's doubting herself. And when I read through the comments, a lot of people are saying stuff like, "It's not manipulation, you're setting a boundary, good for you, yay!" Or, "He's a child, you should leave him." So my two cents is that it's kind of a boundary, but not exactly. See, boundaries are when one person says they can't continue living under certain conditions or behavior. Like if she were to say, "I can't live with someone who doesn't clean up after themselves. If nothing changes, I will leave." And I think what a lot of people don't get is that boundaries are about self-protection. It's not about controlling the other person. When you set a boundary, you are saying, "I'm not okay with this, so I'm going to remove myself from this situation." Where this post gets a little iffy is that she didn't just state a boundary. She said he needs to get therapy, which is where it does start to edge into control, instead of her just having standards. And I get why she's saying this, really. It's something I've seen so many times with some of the couples I've worked with. And she's saying this because she's so desperate for things to change. But as we all know, therapy and coaching don't really work unless the person wants to be there. Now, the other thing is that therapy might help, but it's not actually the issue here, and it's not guaranteed to fix anything. But she's probably asking for this because she's thinking maybe he'll listen to somebody else since he's not listening to her. What really stands out to me about this couple is that he's shown that he's capable of changing his behavior. He's already done it. He changes for about a week, but then he doesn't sustain it. And whenever she brings it up again, he sidetracks her by making it about himself, and the issue never gets resolved. So for me, the real question isn't whether she's being manipulative. If anything, I think he's the one doing that. But the real questions that she may want to answer is whether she's clear on what she needs in a relationship and whether she's willing to hold those standards. Now, In this kind of situation, there is one thing I'll nudge my clients to say to the people who are like this boyfriend. Hey, since we've been around the block a few times, let's plan ahead. If this comes up again, how would you like me to support you for staying accountable? And then you see what they say. On to the next post. We know that every relationship takes work. But how do you know the difference between a relationship that needs work versus one that's incompatible? For this post, it was super interesting because it got so many comments. So of course, I had to dive into the comments and pull out the most common themes for you. And here they are in descending order of popularity. Number one, reciprocity over time matters. Number two, if it feels like work, it's the wrong relationship. Number three, shared values matter more than chemistry. Number four, trust your gut, you'll know. Number five, effort only matters if it leads to change. And number six, if they cared, they would. For number one, reciprocity over time does matter. Yes, it's a real thing. When you have only one person putting in all the effort, it creates an imbalance and resentment over time. And if this isn't addressed, then yeah, the relationship usually doesn't last. Number three, shared values matter more than chemistry. Yep, chemistry is what often attracts you in the beginning, but values determine how you build a life together for the long run. And just to clarify, okay, because values is one of those words that gets thrown around all the time, and yet I don't think people actually know what it means. In the context of relationships, values are your non-negotiables on what it means to be a person, on how you live your life, and how you live your life together in this relationship. I find a lot of people making the mistake where they compromise their values, and you can't do that. Because that's how you lose respect for yourself. And number five, effort only matters when it leads to change. This one's pretty much the heart of coaching, and I've seen way too many of my friends and clients get tripped up on this one because they treat effort like a participation trophy instead of focusing on the follow-through. So if you're talking all the time and promising all the things and trying, but the results don't change, it doesn't really count because you're still in the same place. Now, those were the themes that I thought were pretty on point. And the part that disturbed me about the other three is how highly ranked they were, as in they got so many upvotes and so many comments of people agreeing with them. And in my opinion, I feel like these really missed the mark, and these beliefs are actually why so many relationships fail. So if we look at number two, if it feels like work, it's the wrong relationship. This one really makes me cringe because all relationships require some work, at least some of the time. You can't make it like, oh, this is so hard, so therefore something is wrong, okay? This isn't about work versus no work. It's whether the effort and the work you're putting in is productive or not. And I can tell you from firsthand experience that you can have a relationship that is growing and is making progress, but it can still feel bloody hard. What you gotta watch out for is the relationship that never progresses or people just don't learn. That's when it gets exhausting. So for this one, I think this is the real question to answer. Is the effort actually moving things forward, or are we just maintaining the same problems? Okay, for number four, trust your gut, you'll just know. Oh my God, this one is giving gigantic red flags because your gut is shaped by your personal history and your experience. If you're like me, where you grew up in a super chaotic and an abusive household, then your gut is probably going to tell you that something peaceful is wrong. I've literally coached so many people who confuse anxiety with chemistry and who think that any type of discomfort is danger, even though discomfort is often just a sign of growth. So this is where I wouldn't ever only say just trust your gut. I would say, yeah, listen to your gut and also look at the data. Look at the behavior over time instead of just your feelings. And lastly, we have number 6. If they cared, they would. This one's one of my favorites to talk about, and it immediately reminds me of my most viral TikTok ever, where I talk about how some relationships are like one person has 3 markers and the other person has a full pack of markers. It's really hard when these 2 people get together, because the person with all the markers eventually wants a color that the 3 marker person just doesn't have, and then they fight. And in the video, I say that the fact that this person doesn't have that color doesn't mean that they don't love the other person. There are lots of people who genuinely care about their person, but caring is not the same as having the capacity or the skill or the willingness to change. So for everyone who says if they cared, they would, they think it's a question of these people won't, when often it's actually that these people can't. For this one, instead of telling yourself they don't care, maybe ask yourself, if this is what this person has, does this meet my needs? And if it doesn't, then what choice do I need to make for my own well-being? All right, our last post is from a guy who's been with his girlfriend for a couple of years. She has a close guy friend, and whenever there's a problem in the relationship, she talks it over with her friend before she brings it to her partner. The partner isn't worried about cheating, but it definitely makes him uncomfortable that private relationship issues are being shared with other people. When he brings it up, she says he's limiting her independence. So he's asking what words to use to negotiate emotional boundaries without controlling her friendships or damaging intimacy. What immediately struck me here is that he thinks this is a wording problem, because he's essentially saying, what should I say? How do I phrase this correctly so she understands and doesn't get mad at me? He's really focused on technique, which is pretty common for men. But unfortunately, this isn't a how do I say it type of communication problem. The real issue is that they're not aligned on what emotional privacy and loyalty mean. They have different assumptions about what stays inside the relationship, who gets to hear about their fights, and what independence means. And until they define all of this, finding the perfect words isn't going to do jack. Now, this is where asking for advice on a public forum like Reddit or Facebook isn't really helpful, because you'll get all these people commenting super distracting things. So, for example, on this post, they're saying stuff like, well, everybody needs outside support and you shouldn't be so jealous. Or, you don't get to control who she talks to. Or, you're just being insecure. When that's really not what this is about. He's not even trying to say that she can never talk to her friends. He's saying that he's uncomfortable that she's talking to other people about their issues before she talks to him. So instead of him asking, how should I say this perfectly, it might be better if he sat down with her to have a conversation to answer these questions. What should stay inside the relationship? When and what's appropriate to share with other people? And if we don't agree, how can we meet in the middle? Alrighty, that's it for this week. Did you enjoy this episode? Would you like me to cover more posts from the internet? Let me know. And by the way, if you know even one person who would benefit from hearing this, why not share it with them? Because that would really help me out. Lastly, I'm working on the next episode in this series on friendship, and I would love to hear about your challenges or your views with friendships. So text the link in the show notes if you'd like to share. Thank you so much for listening. As always, I believe in you. See you next time.